On Midwest Week, the long overtime session is over, and the Iowa legislature has finally gone home. I'm Herb Trix, and my guest this week is Aaron Murphy, bureau chief in Des Moines for Lee Enterprises, and his work appears here in the Quad City Times and Muscatine Journal. So, Aaron, how much overtime did the Iowa legislature need before it finally adjourned?
Well, the targeted date was April 17th. That was the 100th day of the session, and that's when they the carrot that they dangle out there is that's when the per diems run out. So they every day during the session, legislators get a little stipend for housing for while they're staying in Des Moines and gas money and meal money. And that runs out at a certain date to encourage them to have their work done by then. So that was set for April 17th. So they went a couple weeks beyond that. As I always note when we talk about this issue, like I said, that's not a hard and fast rule. That, like I said, that's a carrot. That's an incentive for them to get done by then. It doesn't mean they have to by law. Technically, that deadline would be the end of the fiscal year at the end of June, but nobody wants to make it that far, so that's why they put that incentive in place. So they went a few weeks beyond that.
Okay. Now, Republicans control the State House and Senate and the governor's office, so why did they need all that extra time to pass their bills?
Yeah, that was a noteworthy thing that and other people did some research. I didn't have an opportunity to independently verify this, but apparently this was the longest session in history in which one party controlled all three levers, the House, the Senate, and the governor's office. I think the biggest sticking point that drew it out was the tax reform bill. It took a lot of time. Even though all Republicans wanted to do something, it took them a long time to get to a bill that they could all agree on. Basically, the bottom line, to oversimplify it, Senate Republicans wanted to take a bigger bite at the apple than House Republicans and the governor's office wanted to and were originally comfortable with. So it took them a while. It took them a few extra weeks to get to a final bill that they could all agree on.
And at a time of declining revenue and rising expenses for the state, how did they justify a big cut in state taxes?
Yeah, that's the danger. I mean, we've gone through two consecutive years where they actually had to make mid-year budget cuts because revenue didn't come in as much as they expected. And now this bill will take hundreds of millions of dollars out of the state budget every year, starting in, with a couple years down the road. So that will be the challenge. Republicans who supported this insist that it's still a good thing because it will spur economic growth, that businesses will be more likely to come to Iowa, there will be more jobs available, and that will offset some of the revenue losses because that'll boost the tax revenue coming in. Now, there's no hard and fast evidence that that will be the case. It's kind of a leap of faith. So this could have a very interesting impact on the state budget process in the years to come. They've had to tighten the belt for a couple years in a row here, and this makes that a couple $100 million even more challenging.
And as you say, that leap of faith, that supply side doctrine has failed quite miserably in a couple of nearby states recently, Kansas and Oklahoma, and perhaps some elsewhere as well.
Yeah, that's the warning. And I should note that they did put in some what are called triggers, and I guess safeguards would be another way to put it, that state revenue has to grow 4% before some of these tax cuts go into effect. So if there's a year where the revenue doesn't grow well, then the tax cuts don't happen. And that kind of protects them to a certain degree against having a state budget that's just impossible to work with. So they did put some safeguards in place.
Okay, now near the end of the session, one of the terms that we heard coming out of Des Moines was the nuclear option. And Aaron, what was that and why did Republican leaders need it and use it?
Yeah, that was a way for them to get the final flurry of budget bills done in a little faster manner. And essentially what it meant was Democrats weren't able to offer amendments to the budget bills. There's basically two ways to look at that. One is that it shuts Democrats out of the process. You know, they aren't able to offer amendments. which would potentially change these budget bills or enable them to make proposals to change those bills. The flip side of that is, in reality, few to no minority party amendments are actually successfully amended to a majority party's budget bill. So the likelihood that any Democratic amendment at the end of the day was going to be approved and voted on to a Republican budget bill was next to zero, if not zero. So it at the end of the day, it probably didn't change the final product in any way. We ultimately got to where we were going to get anyways. But what it did kind of rob Democrats of was their ability to at least make the proposals and make their pitch during debate.
Yeah, it would seem that since the Republicans have the majorities, they could at least let the Democrats blow off some steam and feel like they were involved. Feel like they were involved a little bit. Now, what about the abortion bill, Aaron, the so-called heartbeat bill? Has that been in the works for quite some time, or was it sort of a surprise this year?
And I forgive me if I'm wrong, but I don't remember this specific proposal being around in previous sessions. What I do remember is there were what used to be the so-called personhood bill, where abortions were illegal as soon as at the point of fertilization. I don't remember a fetal heartbeat being around. And again, forgive me if I'm wrong on that. So that was kind of the new approach that really gained momentum this session, and especially towards the end. And there were some Republicans that really got around to this, and they did the 20-week ban last year, and there was a significant amount of Republicans that felt that was good enough. But you had a certain amount of Republicans this year that wanted to go even further and do this fetal heartbeat bill, knowing it would be in the courts, with the hopes of maybe eventually getting a U.S. Supreme Court hearing and possibly overturning Roe versus Wade. So it was kind of a new approach this session.
And so besides taxes and abortion, what other major accomplishments are there for the Iowa legislature this year?
Well, the bipartisan ones that a lot of people liked and we'll talk about were a big package of bills that expanded the mental health system, created some new access points to help people with mental health challenges, especially those in crisis mode that are in really high need for some help. They did a big package of bills that mental health advocates are just said was fantastic. A package that's designed to help prevent opioid addictions. They did something there. They also addressed water quality, added some new funding to water quality programs. Now, Democrats will say we like this, but it doesn't go nearly far enough. It was at least a good something, but we need much, much more. But they at least got something done on water quality. So those are maybe the three big bipartisan things that happened. The other stuff, tax reform and abortion regulations. And they also added started the process of a potential state constitution amendment that would enshrine gun rights into the Iowa Constitution. That was mostly supported by Republicans, and Democrats expressed concerns with that. That was another big one. But that also requires another General Assembly to approve it, and then if they do, a vote of the Iowa electorate. So that was just step one in a long process.